Alright, hi everyone, and welcome to Using Data and Information Systems in Partnered Research, a cyber seminar series hosted by VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center. A huge thank you to CIDR for providing promotional and technical support. So this series focuses on VA data use in both quality improvement and operations research partnerships. This includes query projects and partnered evaluation initiatives. Sessions are typically held on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 12 p.m. Eastern. You can find more information about this series and other VIREC Cyber Seminars on VIREC's website, and you can catch up on previous sessions on HSR&D's VIREC Cyber Seminar Archive. A quick reminder to those of you just joining us, as slides are available to download. This is a screenshot of a sample email you should have received earlier today before the session, and in it you will find the link to download the slides. Today's presentation is titled Using VA REDCap for Home-Based Cardiac Rehabilitation Projects, and it will be presented by Drs. Catherine Williams and Bonnie Perez. Dr. Williams is the Program Manager and Administrative Officer for CHIME, the Center for Healthcare Improvement and Medical Effectiveness at the San Francisco VA. CHIME was established in 2016 and combines efforts in healthcare research, training, and clinical informatics to generate evidence that facilitates the implementation of best clinical practices into healthcare delivery. Dr. Perez, our second presenter, is a data knowledge analyst at VIREC, where she manages VA REDCap and develops data knowledge products. Thank you both for joining us today. Catherine, can I turn it over to you?
Yes, thank you. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to discuss our home-based cardiac rehabilitation projects to describe some of the features that we especially like in REDCap. And the objective today is to use this case study approach to illustrate three features. One is administrating online patient questionnaires. The second is restricting data access to different groups, for example, by the different sites you may have in your program. And the third is creating data reports that are not only used for research purposes, but that I use in program management and that as a team we use together for research process improvement procedures. The agenda is, first I'm going to talk for a couple of slides about our home-based cardiac rehabilitation projects, just to set the stage for the examples that I'm going to provide today. Then I'll discuss the implementation of online patient surveys within the VA REDCap system, user access issues for multi-site studies, and how to use VA REDCap to create reports that are useful both from a research standpoint and programmatically. And then finally, we'll wrap up with Bonnie Perez giving us some information about VA REDCap resources that are available to everyone, and we'll answer any questions that you may have. First, though, we want to learn a little bit more about the audience and your role as a data user. So we have this poll question here. What is your role in research and or quality improvement? One, are you an investigator, a PI, or a co-investigator? Are you a data manager, a research analyst, or a programmer? Are you project coordinator? Or do you have another role, and could you please describe what that role is within the VA?
And responses are coming in. We'll give everyone a few more moments to respond before we close the poll out and go through the results. Okay, looks like we've slowed down here, so I'm going to close this. And what we're seeing is, wow, a very almost evenly split audience. 22% of the audience being investigator, PI, or co-I. 27% data manager, analyst, or programmer. 27% project coordinator. And 24% other. And in the other bucket, we have strictly research, admin, education, and transformational coach. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Great. Sounds like we have a good mix of people, and I hope there'll be something useful to everybody in the group today. So let me start by just giving a brief overview of our home-based cardiac rehabilitation research projects we have going here. So The VA REDCap features that we find useful for this study and that I'm going to talk about again are patient surveys online and why we find them useful and how to do them, multi-site projects, and data reporting features. Cardiac rehabilitation is an exercise-based program that is known to reduce mortality and improve quality of life in patients with coronary heart disease. It's a structured 12-week program, typically three times per week, with supervised exercise and also education about diet, stress management, medication adherence, the importance of medication adherence, and smoking. However, cardiac rehabilitation programs are vastly underutilized, and less than a third of eligible patients in the United States participate in cardiac rehab. And amongst in the Veterans Administration, it's less than 20% participation. And when veterans are asked why they don't participate, one of the largest barriers to patient participation is the requirement that they have to come into a facility and that they don't have the time for that, they don't have the transportation for that, they may live in rural areas far from a facility, or they don't have social support or the financial resources to do that. So one of the ways to overcome that barrier is by doing cardiac rehab at home. The same sort of program, a structured program, same elements, exercise, education, and check in with clinical staff. And so that's a background about cardiac rehabilitation. And the research studies that we have going are, we have a couple of research studies. One of them is to compare the effectiveness of home-based versus facility-based programs. So the goals would be to compare the participation in home-based versus facility-based and the completion rate for home-based and facility-based, to compare the health outcomes between the two programs, and then also a cost analysis. The second study is very similar. What's different about that study is their company has developed a mobile app for cardiac rehab. So the app will provide risk factor modification, prescribed exercises, reminders, education, counseling, chat features with the clinical research staff. So they're very similar studies. I just want to point out the second one does use a smartphone or tablet for this app. The other aspects that these programs share in common is that they're both multi-site trials at various locations in the VA system. And they both, we collect data, different types of data. So we collect data information from the medical record and from clinical assessments that are entered by the research clinicians. And then there's also questionnaires that the patients fill out themselves. Okay, now that I've introduced our research studies, let me tell you about some of the features we find very useful in REDCap. So first, it's very easy to set up and enter data in REDCap, these database templates. It's a mature program. It's been around for some time, and so it's quite simple to set up a very simple study, yet it is endlessly customizable. So if you have very complex longitudinal studies and so on, it can be used for that as well. On the left side of the screen, you see the REDCap sidebar. This is the left sidebar you always see in REDCap, and I'll show that in all the slides to sort of orient you to what specific aspects of REDCap I'm showing in that moment. As I mentioned previously, we collect data in REDCap in two main ways. One is the clinicians enter data about research subjects, which may be from tests or from the medical record, and then the patients as well fill out questionnaires or surveys, as they're termed in REDCap. It's great for collaborative projects because everybody's using the same software, so the statisticians and data analysts on the back end are very grateful that all our data is collected in the same way in one program. And there are quite a number of features for data reporting within REDCap. I'll talk a little bit about that. You can export data to a wide variety of different software formats. And you can also use data quality rules, which I'm not going to talk about today, but I do reference there this recorded webinar on using data quality rules, which I think is a very useful webinar. All right, let's quickly take a look at the general workflow. This is just a flow chart of our cardiac rehabilitation workflow, and wherever you see the little red hat, it's where we use REDCap in the workflow. So first, the patients are in the hospital, patients with coronary heart disease, and they're referred to cardiac rehabilitation. If the patient consents for the study, the research staff, and in our case at the San Francisco VA, we have a nurse and an exercise physiologist, they start a new record in REDCap. They add information about demographics and comorbidities from the medical record. This is QI, quality improvement information, and just to remember that REDCap cannot store PHI or PII. The next step is that the nurse or exercise physiologist has a visit with the patient. And if they choose to enroll, the patient signs the informed consent in HIPAA forms. And then we have questionnaires for the patients to fill out. And the questionnaires are about health, diet, physical activity, stress, smoking history, and so on. And the questionnaires can be filled out in two formats. They can be paper questionnaires, or they can be filled out online. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we use online surveys. The first two bullets summarize what I just said, and the bottom section is just to state again that both the clinicians and the patients benefit from access to mobile data collection devices at the VA. Some data is entered directly by patients. They can do this in the bed if we provide them with a tablet to work on, so it's very convenient. Let's take a look at some surveys. So clinician-collected data from the medical record, is an example shown here. So the current conditions that the patient has, indications, the date of the index event, some questions about history which may be relevant to our study, and then some test results I've shown at the bottom and more history questions. So this is the kind of data that the clinician enters into REDCap. We also have patient questionnaires. And we're not going to talk about how to set up surveys here, but more how to implement them. I do want to mention one aspect of setting up a survey, and that's branching logic. And branching logic simply means that depending on the answer to one question, to show or hide following questions. So in this example, we have a question. Do you use an assistive device, like a cane or a walker? If the patient answers yes, a new question will open up underneath that, which is, what is the type of assistive device that's used? However, if the patient answers no, that second question, type of assistive device used, remains hidden. So this is a very simple example where only one screen, one additional question opens up if the answer is yes. But you can imagine, depending on what your survey is, you could have rather extensive and complex branching logic to get the information that you need without having patients go through a bunch of questions that aren't relevant to them. And this can only be done online. This isn't possible to do on paper. So on our projects, the questionnaires we have the patients fill out, there's a lot of questions and they're very comprehensive and it can take some time to complete. To enter the data directly into REDCap, which is shown in the upper right corner, the user must be logged in. And the patients will never be users. So how do we get this into a form that the patients can fill out? And this is pretty easily done. And just once again to say that you can always have the paper forms filled out and that for online surveys in VA REDCap, they are only accessible on the VA network. So if you've been working in a university environment, this may be a little different, that the VA public surveys are only accessible on the VA network. All right, let's see how we set one up. So we go back to our workflow, and the clinician has now added the patient to REDCap. Over on the left sidebar, we see Add Edit REDCap Records. The clinician researcher enters the patient into VA REDCap, and they enter the record ID number and an email address. And this doesn't need to be the patient's email address. It doesn't even need to be a real email address. It just needs to be in the email address format to create a link to the survey. And then I also want to say again, I sometimes use the term survey and questionnaire interchangeably. In REDCap, questionnaires are termed surveys. So the email address has been created when the record was initiated. Now, at the bedside with the patient, the researcher has the tablet, clicks on Manage Survey Participants in the right sidebar, and goes to the patient ID number and email that was listed in this first patient and clicks on the link, the chain link. And that will automatically open up a survey in a new tab. Then the researcher can log out of REDCap and close that tab. And the patient now has the tablet, has the survey open, and can complete the survey. And again, just to reiterate, needs to be behind the VA firewall. Our patients are all in the hospital at this point, so this is something that works very well for us. But you can also see this working in subsequent visit setups at a workstation as well. Here's the survey, how it looks to the patient, so they don't have any access to the REDCap program. They just have access to the survey. Now they can fill out the survey and all the branching logic will be functional. Some details about using devices for research subjects at the VA. Make sure that the tablet or the computer workstation that you're using is VA property. Work with your information security office to configure the device. It has to be on the VA network and configured for veteran use. And then thinking about security, as with all electronics, password protect the tablets, and we remove non-essential programs from the tablets as well. On a practical side, we found out in one of our earlier studies that size matters with the tablets. Our population tends to be an older population and fared a little bit better with the larger tablets. So it's just something to keep in mind. It totally depends on who your population is for your research study. It's something that we found. For the smaller iPads, you can get styluses, and that helped as well. The advantages of a tablet, you know, more and more everybody's familiar with this interface. They have a long battery life. You don't need an external keyboard. It's portable. In doing patient surveys, they're really helpful in that the branching logic is functional. And for complex surveys, this is a really useful feature. The other thing is there's no need for post hoc data entry. With paper forms, one of the researchers then has to take that patient form, enter it into REDCap, which one, takes time, and two, we need a process in place to make sure there's no transcription errors. Some disadvantages, there is a potential security issue. Small iPads can be a little bit harder for some people to use in filling out surveys than larger iPads, and that the surveys do need to be done behind the VA firewall. However, for some research projects, the advantage of, you know, the functional branching logic and the time savings of no transcription and checking for transcription errors outweighs the potential disadvantages of of using the online surveys. Next, I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about data access groups for multi-site projects or for any reason that you might have actually to have different data access groups. How we're using it currently on one of our projects is we have a research study that takes place at various VAs across the country, and Atlanta, the Atlanta VA is our coordinating center, and at the San Francisco VA, we're one of the sites. And data access groups allow you to control what data is accessible to what users. You can have separate groups of users who can view subsets of the data. In this example, I'm going to do it by site and show how you would do it by site. And the advantage of this is everybody uses the same REDCap project but has access perhaps only to their own site's data. And again, this makes it much easier on the back end when we're doing the data analysis and pulling data out. Everybody's used the same project to collect the data. Let's see how this works. On the left sidebar within REDCap under Applications, you can see User Rights and DAGs. DAGs is Data Access Groups. If you click on that, a new tab opens, and you can see off to the far right, Data Access Group tab. Two steps to make data access groups. First is enter all your group names. So in our instance, we named them after all of the sites that we have. And then for all the users in REDCap, you click on the user and you assign them to a data access group. It's as easy as that. Unassigned users can view all the data. So in this instance, when we return to the record status dashboard, again, left sidebar under data collection, record status dashboard, this is an example of what I see. So I can see all the records. This is early in our study, and three sites had collected some data on patients, and I can see all of that because I'm not assigned to a data access group. However, for someone, a user in our Cincinnati site, when they open the records dashboard, this is what they see. They only see the records for their own site. So, and they wouldn't see the records from the other five sites. Also, a user in a specific data access group can only export data which belongs to that group. And the groups, in this case, I've shown by site, but you can have data access groups for whatever works within your project functionally. Finally, I want to talk about data reports. We use these a lot in the group. And you query the database in real time. It's table format data where the columns are all the different variables that you've put in your research study, and the rows are the individual records. There's graphing for numerical and categorical variables. All the data is exportable in a variety of formats, which I'll list in an upcoming slide. And you can, again, if desired, restrict access to what data can be exported. Let's see how that looks. So here's an example of a data report within REDCap. So a 6-minute walk test is something that we use to assess the patient's physical condition. The patient walks for 6 minutes at whatever pace they want to, and they can stop for breaks any number of times during the 6 minutes. And the total distance walked is measured. In the top graph, each blue dot is an individual patient, and on the x-axis, how far they walked. And in the bottom graph, similar, after 3 months of cardiac rehabilitation, the red dot in each shows the median. So you can save these reports. You can update these reports at whatever interval you want. So it's a very simple output of a single piece of data from all the patients in your study. Here's another example. How many patients have a history of diabetes? So we can see, you can show the stats plots or both. The stats show out of 1,216 records, there were 48 missing, 4 unique. You can see that in a bar chart or in a pie chart. And I do want to point out, if we take a look at the bar chart on the y-axis, we see no, yes on insulin, then a parenthesis, yes on oral AGE, and it goes off, yes, diet controlled. And I want to say that this is the actual output from REDCap. And this is sort of a downside of REDCap. It's very simple data reporting, and there's not a lot of functionality to edit the X and Y axes and format the bar chart how you would like it. That's no worry at all for us. These can always be exported to any sort of program you want in Excel, which can then go to a bunch of different programs, R, SAS, Stata, and so on. These are useful, I think, for a quick, you know, during the weekly meeting, where are we, and take a look. And they're very fast to run. But all the data can be exported to programs where much more sophisticated data analyses can be done. For a project management point of view, I use these data reports for a lot of things, not just the previous two examples, which showed sort of clinical data. So I ask questions like, do we have any missing data? Specifically, what data is missing? And where is it missing? Is it a certain question, maybe, that never gets answered? Was it too confusing, the question? Is it a sensitive question? Do we need to think about that? The question's missing because they're at the end of a survey that's too long and patients are dropping off after a while. Is it data that comes from the medical record? Would a chart review help us find the missing data? Are we on track with recruitment? How are we doing with recruiting and enrolling patients? How's our consenting process working? Can we learn something from these large studies at multiple sites from another group that maybe has a higher percentage of consenting? What can we learn from them? What are they doing differently? And so these are the kinds of questions I think about for what can we learn to improve the process of our research project. So let's see how we set up reports. Under applications, in the left sidebar, we see data exports, reports, and stats. Click on that, and then a new window opens up, and you click on the tab, create a new report. Give the report a name, and then think about what data you want to put in the report. We can just ask the question, how many records have a history of diabetes missing? Or, and we, so we know that what number that was, or we can try to dig down into this database that's full of information and try to figure out why this data might be missing from some reports. And as the program manager, I'm thinking, you know, is there an opportunity for process improvement? What can I learn not only from what's missing, but can I figure out why it's missing and help reduce the amount of missing data in the future? There are 4 steps to create a data report, briefly shown here. 1, who can see who has access to the report. 2, what fields to include in the report. 3, do we want to filter the data in the report in any way? And 4, for the output, how are we going to order the data that's shown? So let's go through each of these steps one by one. First, step 1, who sees the report? Everybody or custom user access. If you click on that radio button, you get a pull-down list and you can select who's going to see the report. Step 2, what do we want to include in the report? So again, I said simply, one question is how many records are missing the field history of diabetes? But I've decided here, I also want to see the record ID So perhaps this might be helpful to go back and do a chart review to find the data and see if it's missing. Also decided that we wanted to see which site in field 2 had the missing data, because this is a multi-site study. And there's multiple researchers at each site, so maybe it's useful to see which researcher entered the data into this record there. Dates can be very useful in trying to assess what's going on with data and missing data. And then comments. Our researchers can put comments in the REDCap database, and maybe there's some information in the comments that'll help us understand why the data is missing. And so, okay, we've decided on what we want to see in our list of records with that are missing diabetes history. So now we set up the search. Step 3, filter the data. So this is all optional. We've selected what data we want to see and who we want to be able to have access to the data. Steps 3 and 4 are optional. So do we want to filter the data at all? The filtering options will vary depending on the type of data you have. If it's numerical data, you can add operators such as greater than, less than, equal to. It might be text operators such as contains or does not contain, starts with a value, ends with a value. So we're looking here, we've chosen history of diabetes as a filter, and it doesn't have an operator value. The choices for the operator value would be no, yes on insulin, yes on oral agent, yes diet controlled. We're not looking for those, we're looking for the ones that are missing. So we're leaving that blank. I'm just showing you what the pull-down list would have showed. Our second filter we chose is in our database. Let's just pick the patients who were eligible. There are some patients that are not eligible for cardiac rehabilitation. We're not going to be looking at those in this search. Then there's additional filters we decided. We're going to search only in the baseline data. So we collect data in our study over a period of 6 months at 3 intervals, at the baseline when the patient enrolls, at a 3-month follow-up time, and a 6-month follow-up time. We're only looking in the baseline data for this. And then finally, the live filter is just when the data is put up on the screen for you, how do you want to be able to filter it? All right, on to the last step. Step 4 is how the data is displayed, if you want it ordered in any way. I tend to always order first by record ID, ascending order, and then by site. But depending on what your search is, you may choose different sorts of ways to order the data. And before I move on, I just want to say that when you make these reports and you've, you know, the first step was you gave that report a name, these are very easy. You might get your report and realize that it's actually not showing you what you want to see. It's very easy to go back, pull up that report again, and edit your data report. You don't have to start from scratch every time. And on the bottom here, we show the report. And it turns out that 3 of the records had the history of our eligible patients, had the history of diabetes missing, and we've ordered them by record ID. And from step 4, we selected first do by record ID in ascending order, and that's how they're ordered. And then we also chose to sort by site. These all happen to be from San Francisco, but if there were different sites, they would be grouped then by site. And earlier we had filters to look at the comments to see if there were any comments and the date and the staff as well. And I've covered that up, but we would see that data as well. And so you can save this report. You can export this report. And you can edit reports. And you can edit not only the report, but you can edit the setup of the report and how you show that. If you decide you need another column here, you don't have all the information that you need, it's pretty easy to reset that. So I'll just show one final report that we use on a regular basis, and that's the enrollment report. And this is, again, the kind of thing programmatically that's very useful for us. So where are we on enrollment? Everybody wants to know that on their studies all the time. So in this graph, the x-axis is time in weeks. And each of the gray bars there at the bottom is a week from 1 week up to 19 weeks. And the blue bars are all the patients that were eligible for cardiac rehab. And the orange bars represent those who enrolled in the home cardiac rehabilitation program. So each pair of blue and orange bars represents 1 week's worth of data. And we can save this data report and we can run it every week and take a look at it in our meeting and see what's going on and what's happening. And maybe in week 19, one of our researchers was on vacation, so we had lost one person that was enrolling patients, and that's why that's low. And we can also look at the different sites and see, well, you know, the Atlanta site is enrolling a lot of patients at a higher percentage. What are they doing differently? What can we learn from them? And so on. So, you know, are there trends in enrollment? Do some sites have processes that result in higher levels of enrollment? And programmatically, this kind of information is really helpful for us to see on a regular basis. And we just pull up REDCap and generate this, you know, click on the report, run that report really quickly and show it during our meetings, and it's very useful to us. So to summarize how we use REDCap and the features that we really like about it here at the San Francisco VA for our cardiac rehab projects is it's easy to set up databases. There are templates to get you started, a lot of online help just within REDCap as you're using REDCap to click on the information. There's also training resources, which Bonnie's going to talk about in a minute, and a lot of support. It's endlessly customizable to be as simple or as complex as you want your research projects to be. Data can be collected that's entered both by REDCap users and also by patients themselves using online surveys. Again, no PHI or PII, and patient surveys must be done in VA REDCap behind the VA firewall. It's a great resource for collaborative projects that are being done at multiple sites. Everybody uses the same project to enter data. And again, at each of the sites, they may slightly modify what data they're collecting. It may be that one site wants to create or collect 20 more questions on a survey that other sites aren't doing, and they can do that, and they can manage the access to that so only their group has access to that site. But we still have a single project where we're pulling out our collaborative data together. Data reporting for both the clinical data, the research data that we're collecting for these projects, but also programmatic data that can be used to help process improvement for the research project. And then data export into any of a wide variety of sophisticated data analysis and statistical analysis programs. And with that, I'm going to conclude, and we're just interested to know for those on the line today, what is your experience with VA REDCap? Have you ever used it at all? No, never used it. No, but I have a university version of REDCap, and yes, I have used VA REDCap. So we'll give a few minutes to fill that out.
And responses are coming in. We'll give everyone a few more moments to respond before we close the poll and go through the results. So it looks like we're slowing down here, so I'm going to close this. And what we're seeing is 50% of the audience saying that no, they have never used it. 16% have used a university version of REDCap, and 34% have used VA REDCap. Thank you, everyone.
That's great. So for the 50% who have never used VA REDCap, I do want to say there's, and you'll hear about this in a minute, but there's a variety of webinars, both for VA REDCap and REDCap in general, that are really, are very, very helpful to get you started and get you right into working and starting and working with REDCap. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Bonnie Paris, who's going to discuss all these resources that are available to get you started or get you moving into the more sophisticated use of REDCap.
Hi, and thank you, Kate, for a great presentation. So I'll be talking about some learning resources that we have at VIREC to support all of our VA REDCap users.
Yes. I think we're looking at your wrong screen. We're looking at your presenter view here, not your slideshow.
Okay. All right. So I will see if I can...
Just maximize that and change your display setting. Yep. Right there.
There we go.
Perfect.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Sorry about that. So thank you for letting me know that. So we have a web page at VIREC. So that's that first link that you see. That gives an overview of VA REDCap, what it does. It has links to some of these other resources as well. And we have a VA REDCap feature presentation archive. So when Kate was talking about the presentation on using the data quality module, that is something that you can actually go watch that presentation and download the slides in our VA REDCap feature presentation archive. So we have all sorts of different tutorials that are specific to VA REDCap in there. There's also a built-in help and fact section within the VA REDCap application itself, but sometimes we don't have control over that content, and sometimes that will talk about things that are not possible to do with VA REDCap because we've configured the system a certain way for security reasons. But anything in our VA REDCap feature presentation archive is applicable to VA REDCap. So we also have a weekly question and answer session with the VA REDCap support team. It's every Thursday from 3 to 4 Eastern time. We start at 3 o'clock Eastern, and we go until either the Vance line kicks us off or until we have no more questions. So sometimes we end early. So don't be afraid to join us. No question is too small. And if you have a question that's a lot more complicated or in-depth, we can set up individual sessions to help with that, or if there's something that we don't know, we can go look into it. So that's every single Thursday except for once a year. The Thanksgiving holiday falls on a Thursday, so that's the one Thursday that we don't hold it. And we also have a help desk ticket system, so you can either fill out our form. There's a link here. There's also a link to submit a ticket throughout the VA REDCap system and on our topic page. But you can contact the VA REDCap support team directly using the VIREC REDCap support at va.gov email, or you can give us a call, whatever works best for you. So we have a variety of ways to get a hold of us. We're happy to help with any questions, small or complex. We also offer consultation sessions, the project design. So those are generally with me. You know, if we talk a little bit about what your data collection needs are and what features the VA REDCap may work best for your project. As Kate was talking about, this system is set up so that you can get started with a simple project very quickly, but it is very customizable. So if you have a longitudinal project with a schedule for different events happening and you want, you know, reminders sent at different times, or you have something that's more complicated in terms of the branching logic, things like that, we can discuss and help with that as well. But we're also very happy to help with new users, and, you know, like I said, no question is too small. To request an account, you can submit a help desk ticket, so that's that first link on this slide. It's an intranet only site, and the only thing that you need to be granted a VA REDCap account is a va.gov email address. So if you're new to the VA and you're at an academic affiliate and going through the process of being onboarded at the VA, we can't grant you an account until you have a va.gov email address. And you would not be able to access the system anyway because it's an intranet application, so you have to be able to log on to our network. But we usually get the accounts granted within 1 to 2 days, and we send you some additional information about getting started with REDCap when you have an account granted. So those are the resources that we have available to all VA REDCap users. And now we would like to open it up to questions.
All right, thanks, Bonnie. We do have a couple questions in from the audience. Please send in additional questions. We still have plenty of time left in our session, but I'll get started with what we have so far. So the first question, do you have to log out between each patient?
No.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
I was going to say, no, you don't need to log out between entering data for different subject. So if you're logged in and using a data entry form, then you just go on to another record. So there's a way to navigate between records. If you're using a survey where you're actually not logged into the VA REDCap system, if you're using a survey, you can close out of that survey and then open another survey that's applicable for the next subject. So if you're using a survey in VA REDCap and you're, like in the example that Kate provided, they have survey URLs that are specific to each survey and each subject that they're looking at. So then you would need a way to manage that. So you might have an Excel file with the links in there, or you might have, you know, something on paper or on the screen where the staff member types in the new URL for the next subject, whatever method that you're using to put that in. Or you might have another situation where you're starting from a scratch survey each time, where it's creating a new record every time that you go to that survey. Say you have a patient satisfaction questionnaire where it's anonymous and it's starting from a blank form each time, then you can just bookmark that link and use it again for the next one. But there are different approaches to manage when you have the unique survey URL for different subjects.
All right, thanks, Bonnie. We've got several more questions that just came in, so I'm going to try to rush through these.
Okay.
How VA researchers get VA tablets is always an interesting story. How did this team secure tablets?
Well, it's an interesting story. So we're getting our tablets from VA Mobile, and they go, you know, directly to our the offices here to be set up. You know, get a tag number and get set up for use. It's a process, but we got them from VA Mobile as part of a project that we're working on.
All right, thank you. The next question. You had mentioned that we can only access the surveys on the VA secure server. if we log in remotely and ask our participants to fill out a survey off-site of a VA hospital, would this still work?
No. So, and the reason why that won't work is although a VA staff member can log in remotely, so you can apply to get remote access to the VA network through something called the Citrix Access Gateway, or CAG for short, because we like to make acronyms and then pronounce them. You would be logging in under your credential as a staff member. The tablets that Kate's team is using are tablets that are set up by the local ISO to be used by veterans and other, you know, potentially other non-VA employees. So it's not permissible to allow somebody else to work under your login. And I, you know, there's no mechanism to allow a non-VA employee remote access into a VA network system. So that's why that would not work.
All right. I think
you can always go with the old school paper and then enter it later, which is, you know, not ideal, but that's the backup method.
Okay. Off-site. Yeah, I think that answers the next question.
Okay.
Does that mean they cannot complete surveys for long-term follow-up from home through the email link?
That is correct. We're not able to do that.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. Any update on certification process to enable PHI PII data entry?
So we're currently working on that approval process. So, you know, as all things, there's no guarantee, but I'm optimistic that we should be able to get approval within the next year. I'm hoping for earlier rather than later, but again, plan as if there won't be a change. If and when there is a change, we will have widespread announcements about it, because having a place to store PHI and PII for research data collection is a big unmet need right now. But right now, the process, if you have any PHI or PII that's required for your project, you need to work with your local ISO on the appropriate method to store the data. If you have any questions about what constitutes PHI or PII, work with your local privacy officer or PO.
All right, thank you. Is there a way to set up automated emails that occur every 6 months indefinitely?
Yes, you can set up automated survey invitations, and you could set up a decision logic that would trigger every 6 months. You could set it as a particular date or use some other method to make it repeat every 6 months. So yes, that's possible. However, the email reminders will only be of use if it goes to somebody with a VA.gov email address, because in order to respond to a VA REDCap survey, you have to be within the VA firewall.
All right. Can you design the patient surveys to increase font size for visually impaired patients?
So you can use HTML, which is hypertext markup language. It's what websites are written in. You can use, there's some HTML code that you can use to control the display of text within a survey. There are also survey settings if you're not comfortable with HTML, or if you just want everything to be extra large. In the survey settings, you can pick, you know, some different color schemes, as well as the base font size of the survey. There will always be some differences in how the survey displays based off of the settings of the particular device that it's being used on as well. So it's kind of an interplay between the two. But if you have any trouble with that, we can help you with that at the help desk.
All right, Kate, I think this next question refers to something you showed in your part of the presentation. In the enrollment report, how did REDCap know the number of eligible patients?
Oh, so it's a question. It's a form field on our survey. Is the patient eligible? So we have eligibility criteria, and so a patient can be eligible or not eligible. We count everybody, but it's a form that the clinician researcher fills in.
Okay. All right. Last question. What are the advantages of having the patient complete the survey using the iPad versus the staff member asking the questions verbally and entering the data? The team member can't leave the iPad alone with the patient anyway, so other than privacy, I'm not sure of the advantages.
Oh, so we do leave the iPad alone with the patient, pick it up in an hour, and the advantages some patients prefer, so the branching, our primary impetus sometimes is the branching logic. We have rather long, as you can imagine, with exercise, diet, lifestyle, smoking, stress factors. These surveys take a long time, so it is advantageous for the researcher to have that time to do something else. And the other thing is some patients like to do this interactively, and some subjects prefer to do that privately.
All right, thank you. Those are all the questions we had. Thank you, Catherine and Bonnie, for taking the time to present and answer the questions. To the audience, if you have additional questions, you can contact the presenters and the VA REDCap Help Desk. The email address for that is on the screen right now. So you can join us for VIREC's next cyber seminar on Monday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Maria Soden will be here to present on VIREC, the Researcher's Guide to VA Data. VIREC provides a number of resources for health services researchers, and this session will provide an overview of VIREC products and services available. We hope to see you there.